Well, I guess you've heard the story. In the Bible we are told about the three Hebrew children and all the idols of gold. Now the wicked commanded every knee gonna bow to fail. Except do what you must, gonna put our trust in the God that cannot fail. He's the great God Jehovah and greatly to be praised. He's the one gonna see us over every mountain that Satan has raised. Out of all the gods that's worshipped, there's a difference you can tell. He's the only one ever gave his son. He's a God that cannot fail. They were bound and determined to the furnace they would go. But it didn't take long till the king found out they wouldn't go to the furnace alone. When they came to the edge of the furnace and they marched them over the rail, well, Meshach, back a bed and go, and a God that cannot fail. He's a God, great Jehovah, and greatly to be praised. He's the one gonna see us over every mountain that Satan has raised. Out of all the gods that's worshipped, there's a difference you can tell. He's the only one ever gave his son. He's a God that cannot fail. I want to sing that last verse again. They were bound and yet determined to the furnace they would go. But it didn't take long till the king found out they wouldn't go to the furnace alone. But when they came to the edge of the furnace and they pushed them over the rail, well, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and a God that cannot fail. He's the great God Jehovah and greatly to be praised. He's the one gonna see us over every mountain that Satan has raised. Out of all the gods that's worshipped, there's a difference you can tell. He's the only one that ever gave his son. He's a God that cannot fail. He's a great God Jehovah and greatly to be praised. He's the one gonna see us over every mountain that Satan has raised. Out of all the gods that's worshipped, there's a difference you can tell. He's the only one that ever gave his son. He's a God that cannot fail. Let's love him tonight, shall we?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Everybody say praise the Lord. It's gave us great pleasure to be here. Enjoy your fellowship. I'm sure you know that without me having to make a big to-do over it, because this is kind of like second home, and we're just glad to get to be with you these couple of nights, and we'd just like to see someone get the Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. I definitely most seriously believe that the Lord is coming soon. And I believe if you're ever going to do anything for God, you've got very short time to do it in. If you're ever going to get dedicated, consecrated, and go to move out for Jesus, you better start the car tonight and get it started, because the Lord's coming soon. Hallelujah. And whether the Lord comes or not soon, life is so uncertain. People die so quickly, and it slips up on you. Brother James and I was talking a while ago, Brother James Mayo. It's hard for us to believe that we're as old as we are. But time travels on. It's back up there. Of course, he's not as old as I am. He might look it. Then I always put this in, but he's the best barber in the country. But time marches on. No matter how much we'd like to slow it down, it still goes on. The hair either disappears or turns white. It just seems to be that way. But Jesus is coming, and if the Lord tarries long enough, then you and I is going to fill a grave sometime. But I somehow just don't feel like it's going to be that long. But let's prepare for whatever the future may hold. Let us prepare for that time. Because if there'll be time of preparation is now and not when it happens. So I want to be ready, don't you? Say praise the Lord. I'd like for you to turn with me tonight to the book of Matthew, about the 12th chapter. We'd like to read a few scriptures in this 12th chapter, kind of hopscotch through it a little bit. I preach a whole lot on mercy and judgment. The bounds of mercy, I don't believe, can possibly be measured. We could never, when man has given up on certain people, God's mercy has still exceeded the highest heights it could possibly go. We can't measure it in width or height or depth. It just seems to go on and on. But there is most definitely an end to mercy. And beware lest you find what it means to get on the other side of mercy. Reading starting about the first verse, and I'll call the verses. I want to kind of skip through the chapter here just a minute. The first, starting at the first chapter of the 12th, the first verse of the 12th chapter of St. Matthew. And at the time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were an hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. And going down to the 9th verse, And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? And how much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then said he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. And the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Going to the 18th verse, Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He will not strive, he shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. I want to read another scripture, which I'll not wait for you to look up. James, the 2nd chapter and the 13th verse. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. And that's the title of my message tonight. Mercy rejoiceth against judgment. In this scripture that we read tonight, Jesus was a little unpredictable when it came to going somewhere. If the Lord decided to go before breakfast, he just took off. And the disciples were with him going through the corn, and they grew hungry, and they began to pull ears off and begin to eat. And of course, you know as well as I do that the Pharisees were more interested in the crossing of the T's or the dotting of the I than they was whether a man ate or not. They could care less if the man with the withered hand ever got his hand back to shape, if it went contradictory to their beliefs or what they thought was right. And everything that they had, which was probably over 600 laws or such, in which they knew them every one, they lived according to those laws. And if anybody crossed them laws, you were in trouble as far as they were concerned. But Jesus Christ had laws concerning the helping of the human race. Whether it was feeding or whether it was healing a withered hand, he said it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. and he healed the withered man's hand, and he went away whole. And the Pharisees stood off and made light of it and tried to find something that they could bring counsel against him over it. Hallelujah. Going on down, when he said, a bruised reed he would not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. A reed is a very weak sort of, well, not a vegetable, but a plant. It's hollow. It doesn't give forth any kind of an architect value. You couldn't build a building out of it. And if you trimmed you off something for a staff, it couldn't hold very much weight at all. If a strong wind comes, it would break a reed. If you stepped on it, it would crack it. It was very weak, and when it referred to in the Bible, it referred to unstable, frail, something that had no strength of its own, no joy, no peace, no nothing. But he said, I came not to break a bruised reed. And the shepherds at that time found a use for that reed. They would go down and cut them off a small section of this reed, and they would begin to whittle until they would make them a flute that they could blow through and note it with their fingers and make music. Maybe something similar to the way Brother Rutledge blows the trumpet, but however, not getting near the good music out of it that he does out of the trumpet. But they molded that little reed, that little flute, till they could get the sound out of it. And on the back hills, over in the back parts of the desert somewhere, where they were all alone, just them and the sheep, there was their only entertainment night after night and day after day. They would blow that little flute, and that little reed would bring forth music. Those sheep got accustomed to listening to that sound. When they heard that, they knew the shepherd was near. They knew that the danger was not worrying them because their shepherd was there. They heard the music coming from the reed. Then maybe during his work and labor, he may have dropped that little reed and cracked it. And when he cracked it, my, he could have thrown it away and got him another reed and made him one probably just as easy. But no, that wasn't the way it was. He'd grown kind of fond of that music, and those sheep was used to that sound. And so he'd reach down and he'd take a little piece of thread from his robe, and he'd begin to bind up that reed, and he'd blow and he'd bind and he'd blow till finally he would get the music coming back forth from that little old bruised reed that he had dropped. And the Bible says that he came not to break the bruised reed. Those that one time were filled with the song of the redeemed, those that were one time marching with the victory of the Holy Ghost. God does not come to cut them off, to break them, to throw them away, but he comes to bind them up and to once again bring forth the music and the sound that they once sung the song and they once run the aisle. He came to bind it up, not to break it, not to do away with it, but to build it up and to give it that life again, that song, that smile might once again come forth from that individual. When it comes to the smoking flax, flax is the most combustible piece of material or whatever you want, a wick if you want to call it. It doesn't take nothing to light it. But that stuck in a little bowl in those olden days, and that bowl was filled with oil. And they would stick that flax down in there in that wick, and they'd light it, and that was their lamp. They would read by it, or they would walk down the path with it, or some way this was the way that they got their light. And so when that oil was run out, all that flax would do was smoke and stink up the room. It just leave out a smoke. There was no light, nothing that it would give off. And all you have to do to get rid of that smoking flax was to be pull it out, throw it on the floor, stomp it, and you could get the smoking flax to the smoke to disappear. But God said, no, I didn't come to quench it. I didn't come to put it out. But I want to put some more oil in the lamp. I want to get some more oil off of the altar. I want that oil filled up and that spark once again hit that little flax and that light begin to burn. I don't want to put it out. I don't want to stomp it out. Mercy rejoiceth over judgment. When mercy calls and mercy fights, judgment says they ought to die. Mercy says not today. And they fight and you live again and your light lights up and the music comes forth from that reed and you live under the presence and glory of God once again. You take Apostle Peter. Before he got the Holy Ghost, he was always in trouble. Man, he never could take things just like they ought to be. He always had to add something. Make indifference what it was. What was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Everybody else, when they seen the three, it scared them to death. But old Peter jumped up and said, "Oh, let us build three temples. One for each one." He never could just kind of sit back and let it take its course. When the Lord said, "I'm going to wash your feet." Everybody else put their feet out there, and just that was the way it was supposed to be. Peter said, "You ain't washing my feet." He said, the Lord said, "Well, if I don't wash your feet, I ain't going to have no part of you." He said, "Give me a bath. Wash me all over." Never was satisfied. Take it just like it, you know, everybody else. He always had to get more in there. Always getting, trying to get both feet in his mouth at the same time. He was the one that said, "Lord, I won't forsake you." Lord said, "Well, you will too. You'll deny me three times before the cock crows." Peter didn't believe that, but he did. He did. He denied him three times. Peter was the one that went with him to the Garden of Gethsemane. He was one of those boys. I don't know if he's from West Monroe or not, but he's one of them who could fish all day and couldn't pray 1 hour. That's Apostle Peter. He wasn't from here? Okay. When the Lord came out, he'd say, "Peter, wake up. Can't you watch with me 1 hour?" He talked to the other two naturally. But when the violent came, he said, "Well, sleep on. Says time's come." And old Apostle Peter, finally, when the soldiers were coming, he jumped up. All the rest of them didn't do nothing, but Peter did. Oh, yeah, he grabbed the sword. Whack, off went here. Now, Brother Rutledge or Brother Hemphill or any preacher, now they've had some saints that's probably given them a lot of trouble, but they probably hadn't had anybody cut anybody's ear off yet. But the Lord said, "Now, Peter, put that sword up." Reached down, got that ear, and brushed the dirt off of it, and upside the head, and just like that, heal it. But let us get our imagination a little bit. You know that soldier, Malcolm, I believe, or Malchus, whatever his name was, he was a soldier to the high priest. Now, when you cut off an ear, you're getting pretty close to jugular vein. Now, I'm telling you, that old whop down the side of your head, and off comes the ear. Let's just say, for instance, judgment would have called for Peter's death over that little subject right there. If they would have hauled him into court, he got close to homicide there. He was jumping on some soldiers with some authority. Let's say that that soldier come in and said, "I want that man arrested." "Well, what do you want him arrested for?" "Well, he cut off my ear." "Well, have you got any witnesses?" "Sure, I've got these whole legion of soldiers here." "Well, come up here." Peter walk, soldier walk up there. "Which ear did he cut off?" "He cut that one off right there." "He cut that ear off?" "Yes, he cut that ear off right there." "You're sure that's the ear he cut off?" "Yeah, that's the ear he cut off." "Is there any witnesses here?" You almost see those soldiers. "Not me. I'm not getting up there. I'm not about to witness there." Because you see, when God does anything, he don't leave no scars. There wasn't no sign of any ear being cut off. But judgment would have called for killing. Judgment would have called for his life. But mercy stepped in and fought the battle. And mercy rejoiced over judgment. When Peter should have got in trouble for it, God took care of the situation. And mercy rejoiceth over judgment. Every one of you in this building tonight is here because mercy has fought a war for you more times than once. He fought a battle when judgment said they ought to die. Judgment said they deserve it. Mercy said they might. But I'm going to fight you, judgment. I'm going to fight you. I don't want them to die. I'm going to dig around them. I'm going to give them another opportunity. I'm going to give them another chance. And mercy walked in with his soldiers and fought judgment back. And you had another chance. Hallelujah. One of the most beautiful scriptures in the Bible is over there in the book of Jonah. And you may think it's strange, but when Jonah, shall we say, was vomited up on the beach, The Bible says, and God spoke to him the second time. I wouldn't be here tonight if God hadn't spoke to Bill Berryhill the second time. The second time. Brother, the first time, he wound up out there in the deep, in the belly of hell itself. But oh, God spoke to Jonah the second time. God spoke to you the second time. The second time when judgment said, it's my time. They belong to me. Mercy said, no, not tonight. Not tonight. I'm fighting you, judgment. You're not going to get them now. Hallelujah. One of the most beautiful pictures of mercy is the woman taken in adultery. The law called for stoning. Judgment said she must die, her and even the man. But they didn't bother to bring the man. They just brought the woman because they were wanting to get at Jesus. They were wanting to see what he'd have to say about it. Sometimes people think Jesus is a little liberal or something. I don't know. But, you know, they come up and said, here we caught her. Right here we are. And them old boys sitting right there pitching them rocks, you know, just a dime to throw one. Just dying. You know, we always got sanctimonious people in the churches. I know you ain't got none here. But you always got some sanctimonious people in a lot of churches just ready, just a dying to throw a rock. Just a dying to get somebody. Just a dying to let them have it. You know. But mercy steps in many times. They put her down there. Oh, listen. And they said, we caught her in adultery. Well, God looked at her. He couldn't go against the law. My, he even went further than the law. He said, if a man look on a woman to lust, he's the same as committed adultery in his heart. My, he went further than they did. What could he say? The law called for her to die. He bent down and began to write in the dust. Then finally, he stood up and he looked down and he said, let him that is without sin first cast the stone. You can see them old boys kind of slow down their pitch a little bit now. And look around, because you always got one sanctimonious hypocrite that always thinks he's right, clear on through, even if he's the biggest devil on wheels, you know. And I can almost, because I got a good imagination, but I can almost see that one individual with green eyes just ready to throw that rock. And somebody step up behind him and say, hey, you better not throw that rock. Because I was with you Saturday night and I know what you're doing. You see, the law says she dies. Judgment says she dies. It's the law. Mercy said, not now. She didn't need to die. She needed mercy. She needed forgiveness. She needed salvation. She needed an uplifting. She needed another chance. Brother, God stepped in, where thou accuser? Said, I don't have that. I said, neither do I condemn thee. And she went away telling them about the first day of a new life that had begun for her. Why? An army of mercy stepped in and began to battle and fight against judgment. When judgment said she deserves to die, give her to me. Mercy said, no, I'm fighting for her. You can't have her tonight. I'm going to fight for her and give her another chance. Mercy rejoiceth over judgment. Every one of us would be dead and in a grave tonight if it had not been for the battles that mercy fought for us. In this church tonight, in this sanctuary, mercy's got her soldiers stationed up and down the walls, down through the aisles. Judgment is already here. Judgment is there. They're saying, I've got some here tonight I'm going to get. Mercy says, we're here to do battle with you, judgment. We don't want that little girl to be lost. We don't want that mother to go to hell. We don't want that father to be lost. We're here to battle with you. We're here to fight with you. We want to dig around the roots a little more. We want to see if we can't get some fruit. We want to see God speak to them the second time. We want to hear mercy rejoiceth over judgment. We want to see you fill the altars tonight. When mercy holds judgment back, says, no, no, you're not getting them tonight. We want to see you fill that altar and march out of here and let the redeemed shout the praises of God and listen to the angels rejoice in the portals of glory land. Why? Because mercy rejoiceth over judgment. And when we should have died, we walk free, free, free from the bondage of hell. Prison doors open and chains fell off of us. Mercy rejoiceth over judgment. Oh, listen. God meant for us to be temples of His. Oh, but we've defiled the temple. He meant for us to be kings, but we've walked off and left our kingdoms. He meant for us to be priests, but we've defiled it and dirtied the robes. And He meant for us to do a lot of things. And He meant for us to be His children. And we walked off and became serfs of the devil. But that hand of mercy reaches away down and away up and away over, grasping and fighting to keep judgment from nailing you to the cross, to keep judgment from driving the nails through your hand, to keep judgment from pinning you there and causing you to die for something that Jesus Christ has already died for, causing you to be lost for a price that's already been paid, that you might be free from the bondage of sin tonight. Mercy rejoiceth over judgment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, the Bible's full of it. He came not to break a bruised reed, but He came to bind it up. He came not to quench that smoking flax, but He came to put the light there again. Oh, hallelujah. How many do you know that used to sing the songs of the redeemed, that used to have the smile, that Holy Ghost smile? Oh, that worship, you could look at them and watch them lift their hands. And if we had a saints march, you could see them walking, waving their hands and glorifying God. Oh, you could see them, and now tonight, they're bruised. The song's gone. The melody's disappeared. And there's nothing but a smoking flax now. A very little similarity to what they used to be. And if God doesn't speak the second time, if mercy doesn't win the battle, and if judgment finally wins out, and mercy says don't go there, because there is a state of out of reach that you can go, where mercy says please don't go over there, I can't get you, we can't fight for you over there, only judgment can go over there. Mercy rejoiceth over judgment. God help you tonight. The woman deserved to die, but the Lord let her live. The Lord let her live. Man says they're not worth the lead it takes to blow them apart with. God says, but I died for them. Somebody said, old Bill's so mean and ornery, God will never save him. God said, I've got to work for him. Somebody said, might as well give up. God said, keep praying. Judgment said, I deserve to get him in them honky-tonks. Mercy said, no, I'm going to fight for him. I'm going to fight for him. And one day when the battle was going on, I set that old guitar down and walked through that, packed it all up and walked out of that nightclub doors. Walked on down to the bedroom and got down on my knees beside that old bed and began to call on Jesus Christ. Brother, I found heaven for my soul. I found peace of mind. Brother, mercy fought the battle all the way home. Judgment was trying to get me every way, shape, and form. But mercy said, no, we're fighting a war for him. We're fighting a battle for him. You're not going to get up. Judgment said, but he deserved it. There's no doubt about it. I did deserve it. But mercy said, we're fighting. We're warring. And tonight, mercy is warring for some men in this building, for some mothers in this building. Judgment says, but they backslid. They're gone. They've been in and out. They deserve to die. But mercy says, I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight for them. There's many of them old alcoholics I've seen laying in the alleyways on Madison Street in Chicago. I've seen them when snow was on the ground, laying with their head propped up against a building with an old overcoat and snow all around them, holding their wine bottle on their stomach. Judgment says they ought to die. But oh, once in a while, mercy wins the battle. And you'll see one of them old red-nosed winos all of a sudden bend his knee. God gets a hold of him. Pretty soon that old red nose disappears. That alcoholic look disappears. That Holy Ghost look begin to take over. That smile of the redeemed. That witness, that old song of praise. Lifting his hands and praising God and glorifying. Why? Because like in Jonah, he spoke to him a second time and said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. The second time he spoke to him. That's why we stand tonight, oh, victory in our soul, shouting the praise of God. People, you may, if you're a stranger tonight and you don't know about this old-fashioned experience, let me tell you of something that gives you joy and peace, something that lets you lay down at night, and something that, no, if you don't open your eyes on this earth anymore, one of these days you're going to open it, shouting on the streets of gold. That's what we preach about. That's what we shout about. Because mercy won a battle for us and set us free. Opened prison doors, tore down the chains that bound us to the wall, and give us salvation where we can laugh and run and enjoy the peace of mind and presence of the Lord 24 hours a day. Hallelujah! Let's lift our hands and praise God for His mercy tonight. Hallelujah. Let us bow our heads tonight and begin to pray, saints. Hallelujah. Begin to pray, saints. How many battles has mercy fought for you? How many times has mercy stood its ground when judgment said, "Give them to me"? That old reed that so easy broke. Those hours out in the dark, lonely times when just you know of the wrongs you've done, but mercy fought the battle. Oh, judgment said, but they sinned. Yeah, they sinned. They deserve to die. They deserve hell, but mercy said, no. No, I'm going to fight for them. Judgment, you're not getting them tonight. Oh, every one of us is guilty. Thank God for mercy tonight. Mercy rejoiceth over judgment. Hallelujah. Will you go to praying, please? Come on, saints, be aware that there's people in here going to hell. Go to praying. My God, reach up and grab somebody's coattail tonight. Keep them from plunging into the pits of hell. Keep them from being lost. My God, there's mothers here tonight that's on their way to the pits of eternal doom. There's dads here tonight. There's young men here tonight. There's young ladies here tonight. There's boys and girls. Mercy has already went into clashing of swords. There's already a battle happening, an unseen battle right now in the congregation. Mercy fighting for your soul. Are you praying? I don't even hear you saints praying. My God, aren't you aware? You don't have to go to the tavern to find people going to hell. We got them right here. The Lord's coming. Time's running out. Mercy's fighting for you tonight. But it's about to say, please, don't step over that line. We can't get over there. There's such a thing as beyond the reach of mercy. And once you get over there, and once judgment grabs you, and once you feel that eternal damnation being placed upon you, scream all you like and cry out all you like and pray. But judgment has already latched onto you. Mercy warned you. Mercy warned you. Why don't you come while mercy fights? Why don't you come while mercy fights?
I was guilty with nothing to say.
Hallelujah.
And they were coming to take me away. But then a voice from heaven was heard.
Hallelujah.
That said, let him go and take me instead.
Oh God, pray, saints.
And
I should
have been crucified.
Oh God, but mercy fought for you. Why do you die for your sins that have already been died for? Hallelujah. Mama, get up out of that seat right now. Why don't you purpose in your heart that you're going to live for God? Why don't you grab a hold of the horns of this altar? You're not going to continue to go in and out like swinging doors. You're not going to continue to wallow in your sins. One of these days, mercy will lose the battle. One of these days, you'll go beyond the reach of mercy. And all of a sudden, you'll throw your hand out for mercy, but mercy will say, I can't reach you. I can't reach you. I can't reach you. But you know, these terrible things always happen to the other fella. We're always looking in somebody else's coffin. Somebody else died without God, not us. Somebody else died that was dilatory about their soul, but not us. Some other father, some other mother, some other boy, some other girl, some other teenager. Five young ladies at the beginning of a summer just outside of Los Angeles was on their way to get a little bit of the sun to start their tan. Ages was 14, 15, and 16. There was four of them. Four or five. Every one of them had on their bikini bathing suits. They missed a curve, plunged into a tree, and all of them died. There was beer bottles and cans in the car. Wonder how long mercy had fought for them. Judgment will win if you keep saying no to mercy. Oh, it's going on right now, friend. Mama, mercy's fighting the battle for you. Right here in this congregation. Right now it's taking place. Mercy says, I want them to have another chance. Judgment said they've had every chance in the world. Judgment said they've heard enough gospel preached. They deserve to die. They need to go to hell. Mercy said, no. They need understanding. They need salvation. We're going to fight for them. We're going to fight for them. But can you hear mercy that cries out, please don't go any further. We've fought our limit. We can't get over that line now. If you go there, over there, we can't go. You see, once Shimei had crossed the brook Kidron, mercy lost out. There was nothing it could do then. It stepped across the mercy line. Are you husbands satisfied just to let your wives go on to heaven and you sit around and go to hell? Are you wives satisfied for your husbands to go to heaven and you be lost forever? Is that what you're satisfied to do? Why do you tempt the Lord your God? Why? Everybody standing, please. Hallelujah. While she sings that again, all of you that need the Holy Ghost tonight,
a crown of
all of you that need God in any measure, I want you to step out now. You young men that need God tonight, come on right now and get in this altar. If you need the Holy Ghost, you're not going to get it seeking one night and forgetting it for a week. Come on, you mothers and you ladies that need God tonight. Get in this altar right now.
The rusty nails.
Mercy rejoiceth over judgment. Pray, saints. Pray. My God, there are people going to hell tonight.
Oh, yet Christ took them.
Come on.
Oh, and He let me go.
Move out for God, Mama. Young man, move out for God. Dad, move for God. Come on. How about you young men that were seeking last night? Were you not serious about your soul? You can't play church. You're either going to have to get in there whole hog or not at all. Come on, mercy is fighting for your soul tonight. There's a battle taking place to set you free. Mother, don't stand there. Be a light to those daughters. Be a light to those sons. My God, don't let them go to hell. Don't let them go to hell.
Oh, I should
Hallelujah.
Have been crucified.
And he spoke to them a second time. Mercy rejoices. Oh God. It seems like it's passing over you tonight. Saints, you ought to be crying. You ought to be screaming out to God. You ought to be bombarding heaven. It's your sons and daughters that are standing here without God. It's your sons and daughters that are here without the Holy Ghost. It's your dads and mamas. It's your husbands and wives. Oh God. Mercy! Mercy, mercy is fighting a battle tonight. Oh, the woman in adultery should have been stoned to death.
I should have hung
Hallelujah.
On the cross in disgrace. Oh, but Jesus, God's Son to my
Oh, God. Oh, God.
And I should have been crucified.
My God. I'm waiting, saints. There are some souls here tonight that are in dire need of God. Jesus is coming, and some of you are dry-eyed tonight. Some of you have no burden. Some of you feel nothing in this service tonight. And yet we're right at the closing times of life. The graveyards are filling up, and they can't hardly find a place to bury the dead. And we sit around dry-eyed while these young men and women and boys and girls are going to die without God unless they change. Why don't you step out tonight and give your heart to Jesus? God loves you tonight. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Some of you right now, while tears are in your eyes, why won't you listen to God? Some of you here tonight are cold in your soul. You need to get in this altar and pray through to the victory once more. Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hate to close it tonight, but if I could hear the saints wailing, if I could hear the saints reaching up to heaven, we might be able to pull some people out of those altars, out of those pews. Saints, you better ask yourself, some of you anyway, why is it I don't have any feelings for the loss that's here tonight? Why can't I cry for them? Where's my tears? They're going to hell, and these are my friends. I've been raised with them. I've walked with them, went to school with them, and here I sit dry-eyed. Mercy rejoiceth over judgment. Oh, God. Oh, God. Grandpa, you better come on. You that are proud and haughty tonight, you better throw aside your haughtiness. There's not a proud person in a coffin.
Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Are you grieving Hallelujah. Over joy?
Hallelujah.
Departed? Just tell it to Jesus alone.
Everybody sing it.
Why don't you tell it to Jesus?
There.